Welcome back to the second half of Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis, and there's more important information coming up, so please keep that pencil and recycled paper handy. And let's get right on into my little commentary. Uncle Dennis is going to give the commentary tonight. Going to talk a little bit about the Round River Rendezvous. And folks might want to know what the Round River Rendezvous was. Well, the Round River Rendezvous is the yearly gathering of the Earth First tribe. Folks come from all over the planet to gather. This year we gathered in the Little Grays River Basin, a place called McCain Meadows, just east of the town of Alpine, Wyoming. And it was a very beautiful spot. The Little Grays River is a gravelly little river running down through the center of this beautiful valley. Lots of spruce and lodgepole pine hanging out around the area. Didn't see any elk. Did see some deer. There was some bear sign here and there. We had a lot of fun and basically hung out for the week. We had lots of workshops. Workshops are where one or more people get together and share their information with other folks. Workshops on all kinds of stuff. Workshops on various campaigns, various regions. We heard about oil and gas development in Wyoming. We heard about what's happening in the Matol, various different kinds of tactics that are available, including how to use a maglite as a weapon. I don't know why you'd really need more than 5 or 10 minutes to demonstrate that, but there was a whole two-hour-long workshop on it. We had a series of workshops called Earth First History, Parts 1 through 5. Uncle Dennis took part in some of those. Basically, had four different sessions of workshops during the day. Morning circle started everything off, and then in the evening we had potlucks and campfires and various artists sang. It's a beautiful weekend. On Wednesday, Uncle Dennis had his birthday in Wyoming. First time that the entire circle has sung happy birthday to Uncle Dennis, and I was really thrilled. There were some other birthday parties at the rendezvous as well. And let's see, there were about 350 or 400 people came to the rendezvous this year, a little less than normal, but one of the things that we did notice was there was many new people came to the rendezvous. This year the rendezvous was a little later than it normally is. Usually the rendezvous is the week before July 4th, and this year it was the week after July 4th. This allowed some members of the Rainbow family to attend the rendezvous, which they don't normally get to do. So we had some different kinds of folks at the rendezvous this year. There were a lot of the what's known as the Black faction in attendance at the rendezvous. More urban youth attended this year than have been in the past. So a little different flavor of folks, all basically hanging out. Seeds of Peace had a kitchen. The event was hosted by Tiwanaut Earth First, which is the Wyoming version of the Earth First local affinity group, and they also was organized by Wild Rockies Earth First, and various other long-term activists also pitched in and helped. So there was plenty going on. We had some local folks show up from the Jackson area, which is just about 50 miles north of where the rendezvous was. There was a bar in the little town of Alpine that was very happy to see us come. They purchased lots of libations there, and they also had a happy hour Tuesdays and Thursday nights from 8 to 9 where they served moose drool for free. And some folks went over there and emptied a couple of kegs of moose drool, which is a local microbrew. And I guess they had a pretty good time. Uncle Dennis didn't go into town, preferring to stay out in the woods for a week. That's precisely why Uncle Dennis goes to the rendezvous, as he gets to meet all kinds of folks out there. There was another thing that was different this year was there were few, if any, of the professional musicians showed up. Peg Millett was pretty much the only musician that even had a published and saleable CD available. The rest of the movement musicians were at the Oregon Country Fair, I believe, trying to make money there, which is okay. It enabled folks who had a more varied but less professional musical offering to be able to have the time and space to put that out. Uncle Dennis sang quite a bit, and other folks got up and sang. We had a bluegrass trio, banjo, a couple of mandolins, and a guitar. I guess that's a quartet. Most of the time they were a trio, one of the mandolins being too inebriated to play much. But anyway, a wide variety of music was offered and some unique music. Let's see. The fishing actually was quite good on the Little Grays River. Uncle Dennis went out on his birthday and spent the day fishing. Didn't actually catch anything edible on my birthday, but the day after I did catch a fish and ate it. The local cutthroat trout population is pretty much booming up there in western Wyoming. And, let's see, I think we saw some bald eagle flying around one afternoon. There were definitely bats and other birds. I believe a yellow-bellied gnatcatcher was one of the local birds that was observed. The most intrusive animal at the entire site was one squirrel who insisted on talking to everyone and telling them exactly what he thought of, or she thought about us living in her area, his or her area. Quite a loud chipmunk, anyway. And there was a little swimming hole where folks could get in the creek for a few seconds because the water was so cold. That was about all you could stand to be in the creek. There were most of the water that we used came from a spring a couple of miles down the road. Absolutely fine spring water. I love drinking water that comes out of the ground without any chlorination or any length of pipe involved. It's just so much a different flavor to have wild water in your cup. Every morning at the Rendezvous, we had the Tony Merton Memorial Coffee Circle. Tony Merton, a activist from New Mexico who unfortunately took his life a few years ago, used to offer coffee to folks in the morning, and Uncle Dennis and others have carried on that tradition for quite a number of years now and offered coffee to any and all comers in the early morning hours of the Rendezvous. So, anyway, there were plenty of potlucks, lots of skill sharing, and other things going on. We also decided that next year's Rendezvous will be in the state of Washington. So if you're planning to attend next year's Round River Rendezvous, you should make travel plans to somewhere in the state of Washington. And next year's activist conference, which takes place in February of next year, will occur somewhere in Arizona. We've been promised a hot springs. Let's see if that comes through. Actually, hot springs in Arizona in the wintertime is not a bad thing at all. Uncle Dennis is thinking about attending the activist conference last year, next year, excuse me. So we'll get on with that. Anyway, that was my recollections of this year's Round River Rendezvous. If you want to offer up some of your observations, well, send email to cruzief@cruzio.com. That's cruzief@cruzio.com, and we'll get those on the air next week. All right, let's move into further announcements. Coming up is the Wild Women's Gathering. This is being hosted by LOBA, taking place July 29th through August 5th in New Mexico. Sisters of all ages are invited to a week-long full moon gathering in New Mexico's enchanted Gila Wilderness Mountains. Come join us July 29th through August 5th as we explore the depths of selfhood and sisterhood on a truly sacred place of power. You can be part of a small group of focused teens and wizened crones, ecofeminists and Gaian priestesses, warrior women and fairy princesses, celebrating our connection to the wild and beautiful beings, to each other and to the inspirited earth. Activities will include meaningful rituals, mindful walks, awareness exercises, grieving and celebrating, sacred sexuality, wildcrafting, food as communion, medicine sweats, river splashing, and ecstatic riverside dancing. Participants will be encouraged to share their visions and dreams, hopes and fears, skills and stories. The site is a gorgeous wildlife sanctuary on private land and an ancient place of worship requiring both sensitivity and affection. All year long, Jesse Wolf Harden, also known as Lone Wolf Circles, and I host seekers and students for councils and quests, but this is the one time of the year solely dedicated to the empowerment, fulfillment, and pleasure of us caring women. This is our chance to embrace sweet and wild Mother Nature as well as our personal inner wildness. I realize the word wild has gotten a bad reputation, mostly from people who think it means dangerous and undisciplined. Its real meaning is to be willed and willful. Wild beings mind their true needs, obey their animal instincts and extrasensory insights. Wilderness is connecting through ritual and laughter, dance and play. We learn to experience life through heightened senses, through extreme vision, sound and smell, touch and taste. We're filled with awareness and gratitude, responsibility and celebration, magic and love. For more information on the Wild Women's Gathering, please send a self-addressed stamped envelope to LOBA at Earthen Spirituality Project, Box 516, Reserve, New Mexico, 87830. That's Earthen Spirituality Project, Box 516, Reserve, New Mexico, 87830. Be sure to include that self-addressed stamped envelope to receive your information about the Wild Women's Gathering. If you think the mail is going to be too slow, and actually it's only a few days away, send email to earthway at concentric.net. That's earthway at concentric.net, and Lobo will send you more information. Coming up in Oregon is a field trip to the Bear Knoll Sale on the Hood River Ranger District. That's going to take place Monday, July 30th at 8:30 in the morning. Join BARC and the Hood River Ranger District for a field trip to the Bear Knoll Timber Sale on Monday, July 30th. They'll meet in Portland, Oregon at 8:15 at the Daily Grind, Southeast Hawthorne at 40th. Carpools leave promptly at 8:30. We will join up with the Hood River staff at Frog Lake Snow Park at 10 a.m., located about 4 miles east of the junction of Highways 26 and 35. We recently met with Barlow District about neighboring timber sales to Bear Knoll, and their staff had us well outnumbered. Let's turn the tables this time around and get a good group there to show our disapproval of the Forest Service's action. Here's some statistics about Bear Knoll. Encompassing 3,570 acres, approximately 2,000 of which are being considered for logging, including 232 acres of regeneration logging. There will be 3/4 of a mile of new road installed. The site is located northeast of Highway 26, northwest of Forest Road 43, south of Forest Road 2610. Here are the issues. The area is a Tier 2 watershed. That means it's pretty good. There are inadequate road closures, reopening of recovered roads, hemlock bias, regeneration mosaic already exists, so the place is on its way to being better forest, and they're going to log it again. There will be riparian logging, new road construction. The place is in a scenic view shed. Endangered animals include the lynx, the White River watershed analysis, and a 15-inch diameter breast height limit in riparian areas. There has been timber theft in the area, old-growth logging is an issue, and fire suppression has occurred. So, once again, join the BARC folks and the Hood River Ranger District for a field trip to the Bear Knoll Timber Sale, Monday, July 30th at 8:30 a.m. That's when the carpool leaves from the Daily Grind, Southeast Hawthorne and 40th in Portland, Oregon. If you'd like further information, contact BARC at 503-331-0374. That's 503-331-0374. Or you can visit their webpage at www.bark-out.org. That's www.bark-out.org. And here in California, the forest adjacent to Calaveras Big Trees Park is threatened by a new Sierra Pacific Industries logging plan. The Cedar Flat Timber Harvest Plan is a logging plan presently being promoted by Sierra Pacific Industries. This new logging plan would allow a tremendous amount of clear-cutting to be done in forest on the south and east sides of Calaveras Big Trees Park. Some clear-cuts would be located as close as 200 feet from the park's southern boundary. The Cedar Flat THP is located directly adjacent to one of the most unique forested habitats of the central region of the Sierra Nevada in California. Giant sequoias of large size, unique old-growth sugar pine, ponderosa, incense cedar, and white fir make up a significant core area of unique late successional conifer habitat within the adjacent state park property. Due to this unique block of old-growth forest habitat, an extensive closed canopy forest and numerous large trees now existing on Sierra Pacific Industries land in the area, the overall project area comprises one of the most significant blocks of important old-growth forest habitat that can be found within a large portion of the local region. Within the Cedar Flat THP, Sierra Pacific Industries is now requesting approval for even-age logging treatments on 485 acres in 30 separate individual units, primarily using clear-cut and alternative prescriptions that will leave 0 to 5% of existing forest vegetation within the logged units. It's important for the public not to be misled by claims that alternative logging treatments will be different from clear-cuts. Most of the Cedar Flat THP would allow logging units called variable retention harvest units, which sounds very different from clear-cutting. In reality, these variable retention units will still allow the clear-cutting of 95 to 99% of all trees within any 20-acre unit. In addition to all the clear-cutting, selection cutting is proposed for 41 acres of acreage right along streams. The THP, as now proposed, would result in the cutting and removal of over 6,000 large trees of 24 inches diameter breast height or bigger. This would have a tremendous impact on not only the habitat suitability of the project area itself, but also on the overall suitability of the broader assessment area for many species of wildlife. The loss of so many large trees and the creation of so much fragmentation in combination with existing and past fragmentation would greatly diminish the suitability of connecting corridors for wildlife moving from the state park core area to the outlying habitat on U.S. Forest Service and private timberlands. Letters are needed immediately in order to be considered before the close of the public comment period. Try to write today a brief letter asking the California Department of Forestry to reject the Cedar Flat THP on the grounds that Sierra Pacific Industries has not fully considered the impact of cutting so much clear cuts so close to Big Tree State Park. Tell CDF that you believe that Sierra Pacific Industries needs to do a full wildlife survey on their land for species like fisher, spotted owl, goshawk, and other wildlife that may be harmed by the loss of big trees and the clear cuts. Your letter to CDF could make a difference. Please include the THP in your letter. That THP number is 4-001-37-TUO-2, also known as the Cedar Flat THP. Once again, that number 4-001-37-TUO-2. Also known as Cedar Flat THP. Send your letters to Sierra Area Office, Department of Forestry and Fire Protection, 1234 East Shaw Avenue, SHAW, Fresno, California, 93710. That's Sierra Area Office, Department of Forestry and Fire Protection, 1234 East Shaw Avenue, Fresno, California, 93710. If you'd like more information, contact John at CSERC, that's CSERC at sonnet.com, sonnet.com. Once again, that's CSERC at sonnet.com. And please write immediately. And John thanks you. All right. Now we have some time for news here tonight. So, let's get into the news folder. Federal judge issues a temporary restraining order preventing any water diversion from Otter Creek. Idaho Federal District Judge Lynn Windmill issued temporary restraining order preventing any irrigation water diversion from Otter Creek on July 13th. Western Watersheds Project won an order from Federal District Court in Boise, Idaho, which bars any diversion of irrigation water from Otter Creek in central Idaho pending a court hearing in August. Otter Creek is a tributary of Panther Creek, which flows into the Salmon River. It is occupied habitat for bull trout, a species listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. In May of this year, Western Watersheds Project and the Committee for Idaho's High Desert entered into a stipulated agreement with the water right holder, rancher Verl Jones of Chehalis, Idaho, in which Jones agreed not to divert any water this year from Otter Creek. WWP and CIHD had earlier sued Rancher Jones for violation of the Endangered Species Act by dewatering Otter Creek to irrigate pasture land on Morgan Creek, thereby killing bull trout and destroying their habitat. On July 10th, Jones' attorney Bruce Smith notified the district court that Jones planned to divert water anyway from Otter Creek because, as Jones stated in a letter to the court, "I need the Otter Creek water to keep up with my irrigation in this very dry year." WWP immediately requested a judicial hearing to rule on a motion for a temporary restraining order preventing any water diversion which would violate the Endangered Species Act. That hearing was held on July 11th. On Friday, July 13th, Federal District Chief Judge Lynn Windmill granted WWP's request and blocked any water diversion from Otter Creek, thereby protecting bull trout habitat and establishing the first federal legal intervention in Idaho, holding that the Endangered Species Act takes precedent over Idaho state water rights. If you'd like more information, you can contact the Western Watersheds Project, Box 1770, Haley, Idaho, 83333. Once again, that address, Western Watersheds Project, Box 1770, Haley, Idaho, 83333. Or, if you'd like to call them, here's the number, 208-788-2290. That's 208-788-2290. Or you can try their webpage at www.westernwatersheds.org. That's www.westernwatersheds.org. Or if you want to send them email, it's wwp@westernwatersheds.org. wwp@westernwatersheds.org, and we thank them for that news. And hopefully they'll win their restraining order. Similar things are happening up on the Klamath River, where local ranchers are three times last week opened up the water, diverting water off the Klamath River. And while the local deputy sheriff sat by and did nothing, the federal water managers are considering bringing in federal marshals up there in Northern California. And the U.S. Department of Agriculture has moved forward to protect roadless areas. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced that it is moving forward in an open and fair process to develop protections for roadless areas. Through an advance notice of proposed rulemaking, the U.S. Department of Agriculture will seek a 60-day public comment period to help determine the next steps in providing long-term protection for roadless areas. The ANPR, available for inspection in the Federal Register, lists several questions for the public to consider regarding roadless area values and future protection and management of inventoried roadless areas in national forests and grasslands. And hopefully we can save what's left of our roadless areas by proceeding. Of the 58.5 million acres of inventoried roadless areas, less than 0.2% might be considered for road construction during the next 5 years after appropriate environmental review and documentation. 84% of roadless areas are not managed for timber production, and 41% prohibit road construction. USDA is taking a proactive stance during this period to solicit additional public comment and review the existing rule to determine how to best to adhere to the five guiding principles of informed decision-making that were outlined on May 4th. These principles are as followed: informed decision-making, working together with local input and information, protecting forests, protecting communities, homes, and property, and protecting access to property. Where was protecting the wilderness in there? I don't know. Anyway, the roadless rule will be implemented, but there will be adjustments, so make your comments to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And that's it for news today. To get news or announcements from your bioregion to Earth First Radio, send us email at cruzief@cruzio.com. That's cruzief@cruzio.com, cruzief@cruzio.com. You can send letters to Earth First Radio. We're at P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. That's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Be sure to send any and all announcements at least 3 weeks in advance. If you want more in-depth news and information about the Earth First movement, please subscribe to the Earth First Journal. Their address is P.O. Box 3023, Tucson, Arizona, 85702. That address again, Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 3023, Tucson, Arizona, 85702. And you can listen to Earth First Radio live on your computer every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Go to the website www.microradio.net/FRSC and listen in. You could also try www.live365.com. Search for Free Radio Santa Cruz and listen in there. There's lots of great shows on Free Radio Santa Cruz anytime you want to tune in. And you can always find Earth First Radio archive shows on the World Wide Web at www.radioforall.net. That's www.radio4all.net, and search for Earth First Radio. This show is number 150. Earth First Radio is carried on a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations. Please ask your local station to rebroadcast Earth First Radio. Earth First Radio is produced in Mega Studio A of Free Radio Santa Cruz. Our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney from the CD Keep It Wild. I'm Uncle Dennis, and I want to thank you for listening to Earth First Radio. And now we're going to listen to Joanne Rand. This one's called Remember Me.
Remember me when you are walking. Remember me when you are talking. Remember me when you are driving in your car. Remember me, I am the source of all you are. Remember me when you are walking down the street. Remember me, I am the ground beneath your feet. Remember me when you are sleeping. Remember me when you are dreaming. Remember me when you are lonely. Remember me, I am the only. Remember me when you are walking down the street. Remember me, I am the ground beneath your feet. Remember me now. Remember me, 'cause I need you now. Remember me when I begot you. Remember me, I never forgot you. Remember me, I am the ground beneath your feet. Remember me, I am the source of all you eat. Remember me, I am the giver of all life. Remember me, I am the one who wields the knife. Remember me now. Remember me now. Remember me now. Remember me now.